That was a new one. All right, Lord, we just thank you for another fine night with you, Lord, and all the brothers and sisters across the world. We praise you, Father, that we came here in one accord. We are being led by your Spirit tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night, that the gifts will even be in an operation. And we praise you for it, Father. We glorify you. We ask, Lord, that you fill us up with your Spirit, so much so there's nothing left but you, Lord. And we ask and we pray for your mercy and your grace upon us, Lord. Thank you for the authority that you've given us, Lord, over all the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus right now, I bind up and cast out of here any witchcraft or tormenting demons in Jesus' name, that we're not going to have any problems tonight. And Lord, we thank you for an open heaven, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Anoint all, each and every one of us, Lord, to say the things that you'd have us to say, Father, and to receive the wisdom that you have coming forth through all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Because there's nothing we do. It's all you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Missy, did you want to pray against witchcraft and we can follow behind you, or did you want me to do it or what?
Okay, I will. You just did kind of, sort of, but.
Well, kind of, sort of, but it wasn't general.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, Father, I've been hearing that different ones of us have been attacked in our bodies, and I just want to take authority over that. And anybody in this meeting that's been having attacks on their bodies, witchcraft, I just cast down and I break every thought curse, spoken curse, any plots and schemes of the enemy against any of us. And I just command all pain, inflammation, whatever attack is coming upon our bodies, we just command it to go in the name of Jesus, and command complete healing, all lying symptoms to go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for giving us this authority and the enemies under our feet. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We cast down all curses thrown against any of us in the name of Jesus as null and void right now in the mighty name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father, that we walk in your bubble, that nothing can penetrate in the name of Jesus. We praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. My, 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 my. Wish y'all could sit where I'm sitting. Oh, my. All right, anyone else? Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I gave that a thought today myself because, you know, I was experiencing a little knee pain because I've been up and down my knees a lot lately. And then it was starting.
Praise God.
Yeah. Well, that was more for work, unfortunately.
Oh. Okay.
So, you know, bowing down to the beast, I guess. Yeah. So, and then I had I started getting pain in my hip because of all the my knee was bothering me and it was making me walk funny. So I got thinking about it. I thought, well, you know, I don't have to receive this pain. And I thought I started to cast it off. And I thought, well, what if it's an attack purposely coming against me? And I even considered that. And I started casting off any kind of witchcraft ideas that might've been there. I did notice it subside in my that rear hip area, my right hip. But I still think until Missy mentioned that is a confirmation, like, yeah, this is probably what's going on. It's just witchcraft coming against us, you know, and we're thinking it's our normal everyday activities when it's actually probably witchcraft coming against us. So anyways, I like to agree with that in the name of Jesus. We come against the witchcraft and would come together in agreement against this. And anybody that has any issues, bring it forward and we'll cast it off in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer and making us mindful of these things and giving us the discernment that that's what's happening right now. Thank you, Father.
Amen. And Lord, out right now in the name of Jesus, I ask you to loose your angels out and around and about all of the people that are working to get the gospel out, get these videos out, and get the word out, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name, that you have a supernatural wall around them, Lord, that nothing that the enemy tries is going to be successful in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you bring down these the heads of these faction members in Jesus' name. Bring them down, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
That's funny that you brought that up because I was it was hitting me because earlier I got this. I landed right on the phrase in Song of Solomon. My mother's sons were angry with me. Faction.
Yep.
And I was about ready to, I was wanting to share that. And then you said that. And I'm like, yep, that's what it is. Okay. It's faction witchcraft.
Amen. Yep. We know that. We've got a couple of dreams on that just here recently. Thank you, Father, that you have already taken care of it.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Oh, I see you, Greg. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
I wasn't ignoring you.
I'm used to it, Michael.
Oh, that's humble, man. That's humble.
look, I'm just going to, one, is my sound coming through clearly?
Yes, you
Am
are.
Am I enunciating my words correctly? Probably not. Sorry, no, I'm just going to tack myself onto the hem of that prayer, if you like. And the only reason is this, there's, and this is weird for me because it doesn't happen. There's a slight tickle in my throat and a slight runny nose that sort of manifested itself yesterday. So that's, I had a bit of a chat to it last night. So anyway, I'm just going to add myself to all those things that it didn't dawn on me until just now that there's other worldly things going on. Why is Greg hiding, Julie? Oh, I see. Can't see me jacket. And look, another thing, and I'm changing tack here slightly. I had a dream yesterday. Now, this was regarding my father. My father has never showed any interest in anything to do, you know, anything biblical or spiritual or, you know, God stuff. And I had this dream yesterday morning where I went to visit him and my mother, actually at two houses. I won't go into those details. But this man wouldn't shut up about things to do with the Bible, and Zion got mentioned quite a bit. I remember in the dream looking at my mother, but it just shocked me. And looking at my mother and, you know, like, what's going on? And she's just shrugging her shoulders. And one thing I'll add to that, I actually was watching Hidden Manor, the videos in series, and I did fade out, and David was talking on the screen. But yeah, this man wouldn't shut up. He was talking to my brother who has no conversational skills at all. And he was interested. He had people there. It was just, anyway. I'll write it all down some stage, but I'm just going to bring it up to pray into for my father's coming into relationship. I'm going to take the jacket off, Julie. Anyway, look, I'll pray and then hand it over to David and Alina, if that's okay. All right, Lord, I a shocking and surprising sight, but I, you know, Lord, these things don't happen by accident. You know what's going on. So, Lord, I just pray into that. I've got a few things to ponder with that particular dream, but I pray for my dad and my mother and my family, indeed, my birth family. Lord, that they would be enthralled by you and the things about you and the word. Because that is exceedingly abundant above and beyond what I can ask or even imagine. But you do your thing. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, David.
There's a couple things. Well, Sunday night, I was attacked by that fear. I was again that I was attacked like last month, I think. And I couldn't sleep all night. I kept praying about it, praying it down, praying. And it would go away for a certain amount of time and the fear came back. So I remembered, forgot how long ago it was. It wasn't too long ago, but it was just when I started with UBM. I remembered one of David's teaching where he said that even if you just play the Bible, just listen to it and sleep in it, that you could turn it on and sleep. So I turned on one of his teachings, the latest one, the latest podcast, and I turned it on, and those were the only two hours I was able to sleep is when that podcast was playing. And I got up the next morning. It was a rough day. And at work, right at 4 o'clock, my nose started bleeding really bad, and it bled for like a half hour straight. It was like the worst bloody nose I've ever had in my life. And while I was staying there at the sink in the bathroom, I was like, why is this happening? And I was like, you know, I don't really have to stand here with a bloody nose this long. So I was like, God, just make it stop. And then it stopped almost immediately after that. And
praise the Lord.
And I was glad that it was over. And I was like, and on the way back to my station, I was like, man, my sickness, that thing, that my childhood sickness is coming back. Because as a kid, anytime it'd get to a certain temperature or my head would start hurting, my blood would immediately just go off. Like my nose would go off like that. And I was like, wait, no. I was like, it can't be my childhood sickness. I was like, that's gone. I was like, I don't have any sickness right now for all I know. Because God set us free from all that. So then I prayed those attacks down of sickness. And thank God that he revealed that. And I don't know if, like, I had a dream a couple nights ago that I still have questions about. But, I mean, me and my wife talked about it. It seems that God just showed what he wants to do in the future, and it was something to do with I don't know if it was a dream that someone else had, I forgot who had it, about the fruit basket and handing out the fruits. I think Mariana had that dream. And good thing God showed that dream. But he showed who that fruit was going to that I was pulling out of the basket. And I just, and it ended up to be my brother in my family. So, and he's coming to visit here in like 3-4 weeks. And I just pray that if that's the time to God open it, to let God take over from that and let his presence be known when my brother's here.
Amen. Amen. We believe with you too. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Geneva, go ahead. Where'd she go? There she is. Geneva? Geneva. All right. We'll just move right along. Go ahead, Dave.
Put a comment in the chat about pine needle tea because I was curious about it. And it turns out that not all pine trees are safe to drink tea from. All right, you're not just go out, don't go out any pine tree and decide you're going to take some needles off it or leaves and decide to make tea out of it, because some of them actually might be toxic. So generally the tea they're getting these pine trees from is white pine, and it's called eastern white pine also. And that's mostly located actually in the northeast area. There might be a few scattered around farther south, maybe out west, but the reality is that you may not have them there. And if you're not sure, look at the tree, find out about what kind of tree it is before you decide to take the leap and make some tea out of it, because this is a, you know, you're working with something. Unless you really are good at this, you probably shouldn't. Now, I've got a couple of white pines in the back of my backyard, so I decided to try it, and it's not bad. It actually tastes pretty good. The tea actually does.
No, I don't. It tastes like turpentine. Don't be sitting up there telling these people that, man, that stuff is bad.
Oh no, it wasn't that bad actually. I've had it twice, 2 days in a row now. I thought, all right, it's not too bad, because it's, you know, just as full of vitamin C. I wanted to try it. And I thought, this is interesting.
So
I never would have considered it. And I guess this tree, this kind of pine tree, this is the settlers, when they came here, were having issues with scurvy in the wintertime, and because they didn't have any fresh fruit, but the Indians weren't having any problem. And the Indians showed them that they drink this tea from the pine trees with these white pine needles, and it's full of vitamin C, and it took care of their scurvy problem. So that's actually what saved a lot of the settlers when they came here, was drinking that white pine tea initially. So.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay, good. I fixed it. All right. Well, no, thank you, Lord. Did I interrupt? If I interrupted, you can stop me.
Okay, we'll stop you.
Okay.
No, go ahead. We were talking about pine needle tea, and Dave was saying how good it tasted, and I was saying, well, I don't know about, nothing about that. Oh,
okay.
But anyway, you go ahead.
Okie doke. Sorry, David. Anyways, I basically wanted to tell you guys that I had a dream that was really, sorry, I'm outside right now. There's a dog. But anyways, I had a dream last night, and it was a really powerful dream. It was short. It was real quick to the point. And I've been having, you know, a lot of dreams about like, you know, getting rid of the self within me. And, you know, they've been more like warning dreams and stuff. And, you know, I've been in my word a lot. And anyways, last night I had a dream that I was on a road and I was in a school bus. And the school bus was full of like children, and I think adults too, I'm not sure, but I remember we were going toward an old town that I used to live in called Maceo, and it was Highway 60, and we were on this road, and I look out in the fields, and there's like 7 or 8 tornadoes, like big ones, small ones, and the next thing I know, they start to multiply, and everyone in the bus is like screaming and is scared and is crying. And I'm at the back of the bus, and I felt God speak through me in the dream. And I stood up and I walked forward toward the front of the bus, and I put my hands forth, and I said, and I like, I don't know, it was like the most, I don't know how to explain it. Like I felt strong in dreams before, but this was like a feeling like no other. And I put my hand forward and I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, you have to be gone. You cannot hurt us. You can't do anything to us. And I said, stop in the name of Jesus. And, the next thing I know, I look at all these tornadoes and they all start to dwindle down and go back up into the air. And I woke up, and at first I was kind of like, you know, trying to get my bearings. I was like, what just happened? But anyways, like that was the Lord. And man, what a good dream. I was like, man, thank you, Jesus. Like, whew, I've had so many warning dreams. It's nice to have one that, you know, made me feel good. And so anyways, I was, I don't know. I was just really thankful for that. And I still got to get my word and, you know, find some scriptures to back it up. But anyways, I just wanted to thank the Lord for that. And also too, I wanted to thank God, because this weekend we went to see Morgan's family. They were vacationing in Destin. So we drove down there, and usually Isaac knows kind of about this. I've always kind of had a hard time because his brothers kind of tend to pick on me. Like I'm kind of like an easy target. don't know why. Just kidding. But anyways, I think I handle it well. But well, I say that, actually what I was gonna say is that I kind of struggle sometimes, and I get real frustrated, and I get really angry, and I take things personal. And I don't know how to defend myself. I've never been good with defending myself, but in a way I think that's a blessing. And Isaac's always told me that too, you know. I've never been good at defending myself, and you know, I think that's just the innocence of it. And I think that that's how God's created me, because he's the one who has to defend me, not myself. So anyways, I went there this weekend, and everybody, like, you know, they're doing their same routine, kind of like making fun of me and poking things that, you know, so, like some of it was a little bit, you know, what I believe, and, you know, just things here and there. And me and Morgan are always like real quiet. We just take it. And for the first time, it didn't bother me. Like it really didn't bother me. And I honestly just kind of sat back and just laughed a little bit, and was just like, I was just totally okay. And I can't even tell you what it is really that they said, because it just didn't stick on my heart, you know. And I feel like thank God for this ministry and just for his word and stuff. Like I just, you know, I didn't feel offended. And praise God for that, because before, usually I could name everything that happened, tell you the biggest story, and you know, and I really just, I don't really remember. So like, thank the Lord for that. And anyways, we prayed for them when we were driving back, and you know, just turning the other cheek. Anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for that dream, and for how I felt this weekend, and thank him for his grace. I'm going to continue to feel that way. Anyways, that's all.
Amen. Good dream. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. One time, David and I and some more UBMers were out in the middle of a small cornfield. And some bad clouds were coming up. One of them was a wall cloud. I told David, that's a wall cloud there, buddy. I've seen many of them in Arkansas. And right up above us, well, kind of off to one side, I saw one of the tornadoes dipping down. And I started praying against it. He said, hang on. He said, I want it to come down some more. I said, I don't. In the name of Jesus, get back up there. That's the time when we got about 4 inches. We had to run to the house. We got about 4 inches of hail. We said, we commanded the rain to go. We commanded the tornadoes to go. We didn't say anything about hail. So we got about 4 inches of hail. This is middle of summer. It looked like it snowed all over the countryside over there. But anyway, that's many, many years ago. So yeah, we do have the power to call on, to tell those tornadoes to go. Yeah, the authority. Amen. All right, anyone else? Dave, you was talking about that pine needles soup or whatever you call it, tea. Yeah. I was down there. I said, if you had to make some pine needle tea, how would you make it, David? Because I've heard him say in the past that you could eat anything on a pine tree. Everything on a pine tree you could eat. I said, go for it, man. I'm going to get me some biscuits and gravy. I ain't working on that pine tree. But anyway, he said the way he would do it would be put the pine needles in a Ninja, one of those, what you call a food processor, and do it all up and put the water in there with the hot water in there with it, and then do it all together and then let it steep for a while. I said, well, I guess that'd work good. So that might be the way to do it. If some of y'all want to do that, I'd have to put about a half a bag of sugar in there with it.
Now, I watched a couple of people on YouTube do it, just curious. And what they did was they would take the needles and pull them off the branches.
Don't say needles, say leaves, because needles kind of brings a negative connotation of what you're doing. No.
And then they cut the ends off it, and so that, you know, you get rid of all the debris and then pull out any brown ones or whatever. Some people actually go extent, they cut them up more, but they just make enough so you get a good amount in a bowl or something. And then you take some water and you want to run some water over a little bit and then dump the water out so you get anything else that's on whatever it's on it, the debris off. And then you heat hot water, boil it till it's hot and boiling, and then you pour it over the needles and let it steep for 15-20 minutes. And then you just pour that out. And you got to get it. Probably would be a good idea to get a strainer of some type again that would strain more of the water pouring into the cup that you got. And it's almost pretty fairly clear looking liquid.
So, well, according to David, if you go ahead and drink the whole pine needle, that's even better for you than just the juice. I know it tastes like turpentine, like I was trying to tell you before.
Yeah. That's a little on a rough side. I think you get a benefit just from steeping the water and boiling it like that, let it sit. It pulls all that stuff out. A lot of antioxidants and all that stuff that are in it. And it's supposed to be high in vitamin C, high in vitamin A.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste bad. It tastes kind of right up there with like a greenish kind of tea, but not real strong. You can, and I put a little honey in mine and it tastes fine.
So that's it. You put a pint of honey in there with it.
Yeah, just
okay. You know,
about half water, half honey, and
no. Yeah. I would imagine so. All right, Isaac, get us off this pine tea, buddy.
Hey everyone, how are y'all doing? Good. Good to see y'all. I was just wanting to talk about a little something I've been having more of a, sorry to bring the mood down, but don't feel bad for me because I don't feel down. You know, I know the Lord's going to get me through this, but been having a tough time this last week, I should say. And, you know, it's that self-life. And I won't go into too much detail, but I did have a dream a few nights ago that I was in a field and my dad, and there's people around me and I was working, but my dad came back to life. Now my dad passed away in 2005, but he come back to life and he went and seen everybody, but he didn't see me. So I was real upset about it. Well, it happened again. And somebody else told me, oh yeah, he just resurrected. And then he went and like voluntarily died, you know? And the second time he didn't come to see me and I was real upset. You know, I was like talking about, I think I was talking to my brother. Part of it's still kind of foggy. And I said, why didn't he come to see me? Don't he want to see me? Anyways, and the third time he come back and one of my buddies, I seen him coming down the road. And I said, hey, I heard my dad come back. He goes, yeah, he has. And I seen him, you know, I seen him with my own eyes and he did. And I said, well, he hadn't come see me. And so I never got to see him. But I think about that dream and I think that my dad represents the old man. I think that he represents the, you know, this the sins in the bloodline. And I'm not trying to cast any disrespect for my dad. It's just, this is what the dream means. Anyways, so I know Lord is giving me warnings about that self trying to resurrect, you know, and then it will. It really will if you ain't careful. And, you know, like Geneva said, you know, I do get my fair share of warning dreams. That one was pretty rough. And, you know, but well-deserved. Well, I prayed and I said, Lord, build me up in a dream. Show me something, Father, build me up. You know, because I get hit pretty hard a lot of times. And, you know, but like Dave Nelson said a few weeks ago, if he's warning you, be thankful about that, you know, and, you know, you're not reprobated anyways. And here's what I'm trying to get at is I said a prayer, I said, Lord, show me something. Well, I was on this mountain, top of this mountain, and there's like all these winding paths. Like it's like, you know, paths were no more than probably a foot wide. Like you had to walk so narrow in them and you could fall off. If you fall off any of the paths, and we're talking probably 20 or 30 of them just crisscrossing on top of this small mountain peak. And if you fall off of it, you fall away to the bottom mountain. Well, I was walking over to this dead tree and I noticed there was, I had either a sword or a rod in my hand. I can't remember. But there was a lion in this dead tree. And right when I got done, he come down. But he was up in it like a serpent, though. Now, he wasn't coiled up in it like a serpent. He just come down it like a serpent. And this lion come to try to attack me. And I remember feeling Marianne in the dream. Like, I couldn't see her. I just knew she was there, like, supporting me. Like, you can do it. That's I don't know. It's not even like I heard the voice. I just felt it in my heart, if that makes any sense. Anyways, well, I fought this lion and it fell off the mountain. And really, you know, I think it was a sword. And I think it's the Lord telling me, swing your sword, Isaac. I give you that sword. And so here's the thing, you know, here's the thing I want to do. You know, I read my Bible. I do. I really try to read it and get into it. But man, I'm going to tell you sometimes though, you know, I feel the flesh like, hey, won't you get busy or go do this? Don't read your word. You know, so you got to be careful. But I said all this to say this. I was reading the Bible about Solomon and how God come to him in a dream and said, you know, I give you anything you want. I'm paraphrasing here. He said, what do you want? And Solomon asked for wisdom. Well, here's what I want to ask for. And I want the, you know, prayer of, you know, elder to back me up here. But I'm praying, and not praying, I already believe, but just because two or three are gathered, well, you know, we'll be even a little more strong. But I want obedience. I want to be obedient in all things. I just want to be obedient. That's what I want. That's what I really want. And if you'll pray that with me, I've already believed I received it. But if you'll pray with me, I'd be really happy. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Father, you heard Isaac. You said, when we ask, you'll give it to us. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for giving him the wherewithal to be obedient to everything that you've asked him to do, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for putting a hunger in him for the word of God so he can learn how you walk this earth, Lord. And a matter of fact, I pray that for all of us, that we would all learn the humble and low way that you walked this earth, Lord. The Father was very pleased with the way you walked this earth, Lord, in obedience to him. You always ask him, Lord, and that's what you want us to do, but to be led by your Spirit. And if we're led by your Spirit, we can obey everything that you want us to do. And Lord, we thank you for doing that. And we ask, Father, that you place in Isaac to not question anything, just to go ahead and do whatever it is that you've asked him to do. In Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for working all this in Isaac. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful work in him and all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's done, Isaac. It's done, brother. Just walk in the Spirit. Praise God. And anybody else that wants to receive that, you can receive it as well. Father, I just ask that for all of us, that obedience would be the first thing we would want to do, and to quit and to cast down any kind of vain imagination that would creep up on us, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for giving us all that wherewithal to want to obey even the most mundane thing, to go ahead and do it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I praise you, Father, for all the work you're doing in each and every one of us here. I thank you for your gifts that are manifested even now throughout this whole group, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us. Glory, hallelujah. Woo. My. All right, David. Isaac, it's done, brother.
It's me this time. I have a testimony I want to share. So for a really long time, I've been kind of battling distractions. My me time is when my girls are napping. And normally during that time, I will eat my lunch, and I always would want to watch a movie. And it was just something like, I couldn't get rid of that like desire to just watch a movie every single day. But I'm one of those people, when I start reading a book or watching a movie, like I go hardcore, like I just don't want to stop. And then I want to keep watching movies or keep on reading and not stop and neglect everything until, I don't know. And so I would always, you know, I would start feeling so guilty, and then I'd pray, you know, I'd repent, I'd ask the Lord for forgiveness. Then I'd be like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this again. And then like a day will go by where I'll stay away. And then the next day I'm like, nope, I really want to watch a movie with my lunch again. And then it's the same thing. And I had a dream a little while ago that I sent to David Eales. And when I had this dream, I had a feeling it had to do with that. It was about I saw this man that I liked, and he liked me. And David pretty much told me that was I can't remember exactly. Do you remember how I shared it with you? But sorry, I can't remember it right now. It was pretty much like that I needed to get into the Word to fall out of agreement, because it was like, oh, man. Sorry. Pretty much like like I was in agreement with him when he pleased my flesh, I guess. And oh, I'm doing so bad explaining this. But anyway, I had a feeling it had to do with those, the fact that I keep watching movies and I keep getting so distracted and letting my mind be in this. And so like I kept trying to battle it. And then it was this last Thursday after the conference call. That night I was like, I came up to my husband, and I was like, you know what? Tomorrow I'm gonna be delivered from this. And we were gonna have the sisters prayer meeting on Friday. And I was like, I'm gonna confess, and I'm gonna have them pray for me, and I am going to be delivered. Well, Friday rolls around and we're having our prayer meeting. And each time I wanted to speak, either my girls needed my attention or someone would chime in right before I had a chance to. And I didn't get the chance to confess and ask for prayer to be delivered from this. But then, praise God, Marilyn just started praying. And she started praying against distractions and other spirits. And literally everything she was praying, I was like, this is exactly what I need. And so I was claiming that prayer completely for me. I was like, Lord, this is for me, you know? And I claimed it completely and just praise God. After that, like these past 4 days, I have been in his word like never before. I have been listening to David Eel's teachings and just, I mean, he has just filled me with such a desire for him and his word. And I'm just so thankful. And I don't have even a hint of a desire to watch a movie or anything. Like, I just want more of him and I want to grow in him. And I'm just so, so thankful for him. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. That is awesome. That is awesome, Elena. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God doing a work in y'all. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anyone else? All right. Anybody got any testimonies or praise reports? Anything like that? Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Okay.
Is it on?
Yeah.
I don't see it. Yeah. Oh. Ray and I thank the Lord for the fact we finally got out to Tennessee and we had great fellowship. It, you know, the best way I can describe it, it was so apparent how everyone that was there has such a love for God and God's people. So it was awesome. And we're thankful for the fact that you, Michael, have us on Zoom and we can fellowship, even though we're not all together as far as being in the same vicinity, but all in all, it really doesn't matter.
This is a great bridge, not being able to always be physically somewhere else, but this is a wonderful group here, and we're so thankful for that too. And to add to what June was saying, we were so blessed we were able to meet with David privately and spend some time with him, which was an awesome event for us. And we were very appreciative of that time.
I still can't get over the love. It was just so awesome, you know, being in a group together the way we were. And we're so thankful to you, Michael, for how you're able to get us together no matter where we are.
Amen. Yes, Lord, Zoom is good. Thank you, Father. Well, thank you so much, Jen and Ray. I'm glad y'all had a good time. Y'all have to come back now while I'm here.
Yes.
We're thinking about it.
All right. Well, come on. We'll definitely have a good time. By the way, Dominique's here. Is he on here? I think he is. I think I just saw him on here a while ago. Where'd he go? Oh, I guess he got back on. Oh, wait a minute. There's another page here. Yeah, he's on here. Hey, Dominic. They went kayaking today.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Oh, it's okay, bud. Are you beet red yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm nice and cooked.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all have a good time.
Oh, yeah. I flipped over 3 times, but besides that, it was pretty nice.
I told you he's going to get baptized in the
in a kayak. Yeah, you did.
Amen. Well, I'm glad y'all had a good time. Greg Brent is always fun to be with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay. Glad you had a good time. All right, Malcolm. By the way, Dominic's here with us. All right, Malcolm. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, we have nearby here, we have the Kettle River, and there's a lot of people in the summertime like to go summertime here in our part of the world. A lot of people like to go rafting and canoeing and whatnot. Anyway, there's one spot that they have lots of warning signs to get out and portage your whatever you have around through the rocks to avoid going to this really dangerous part. Anyway, one time I decided to go through and the water was quite low. I thought it'd be fine. And I was in a canoe with a paddle, just one. I was by myself because I wanted to be able to control it as best I could. But once I committed myself to the water and got into that area, I realized I bit off a little more than I could chew. Anyway, I want to mention, we prayed, I think a week and a half ago, maybe, for a friend of mine and his wife that were over in Nepal, he was quite very, very sick. They didn't know if he was going to make it. Anyway, we all prayed for him. But anyway, this last Saturday, I don't know how it worked, but he was able to get a flight back to, I don't know if it was a charter plane, doesn't matter, but anyway, he got back to Canada and his wife, and they made it there safely. So, frankly, what I'm praying for a lot of people, especially people that have gotten the shots and whatnot, is that God will preserve them until God can give them an opportunity for repentance. And I'm just praying that the people that I'm praying for will be given repentance, and also they can see this huge revival that's coming, because that'll change a lot of things. I'm just anxious for people to see that. You know, there's a psalm, one of the psalms where David is praying. He said, even in my old age, I want to show people the glory of God, something like that. And so anyway, I like that. I love the psalms. I like the fact that, you know, recently we listened to David talking about Psalms 119, and anyway, the Psalms are really incredible. You can listen to them so many different times, and they just always speak to me. So anyway, I'm grateful to God. Thank you all for praying for my friend Ed and his wife Cheryl, and I'm just praying that God will keep preserving them for this time that's coming up. So he was just one of these pastors. I'm talking in a more conventional sense rather than the biblical model of pastor, but he's a very unusual person that was just had a pastor's heart type of person. In fact, we were building our house here in the late 90s, and he would come over and just help me work on the wiring and the plumbing and all that kind of stuff. He wouldn't talk, poor guy, so he got to listen to me. But just one of those people with a servant's heart, and he just quietly work away on different projects that he just wanted me to tell him what to work on. So anyway, I just thought that was so cool. Thank anyway, you. Back to Ned.
All right, brother. All right, anyone else? I had a question. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
I just wanted to ask Malcolm. I got in here kind of late. Malcolm, are you talking about Jim?
I was talking about Ed. He was a pastor here at our local church area. Just a remarkable person.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Jim that lived down in Mead, your Colbert. But, okay, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of people. You know, we hear more and more about the darkness of this vaccine thing, and then David covered some stuff Sunday, and I think we're starting to realize that things are it's pretty nasty stuff, and so I just started praying more and more for people and talking to other folks to be sure to pray for their relatives that they want to see preserved from this terrible stuff. People have just gotten sucked into it without even knowing. So
Well, it's planned by the elite to do that. One thing that they did say that was wrong, they said there is no cure for the vaccine. But there is. God's got the cure for the vaccine. And that's one thing that we're going to be able to do in the days ahead is to tell people about that. God's vaccine will overcome any of that garbage. Is that it, Malcolm? Is that all you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I just like to thank God. I've prayed for things like physical things, like little things on my skin or whatever. I prayed for some things, and they keep holding on. But I just hold on, and then they're gone. Well, what happened to that? You know, so praise God.
Amen.
But you know, soon we're going to be at the point where we don't even have to wait. But I do want to be developing faith while I'm holding on to things that I'm praying for. That's a good process. It's just, I'd sure like to be able to operate just like you speak it, and you know, the house appears in the middle of a field or something. Oh, hey, here's an idea. Let me, one more thing, Michael. You know, Jesus walked on the water, and then Peter got out and walked on the water. And I was thinking, we live right on a river here. So why not just, instead of walking on the water, it seems like it'd be more efficient just to drive your car across the water, across the river here. I mean, why go to the trouble of getting a canoe out and the paddle and when you can just drive? So anyway, just, I'm not trying to be funny about that, because I really think things, but of course, if God can do that, then you know, translation would be even easier. So you don't have to deal with all the hassles of a car. But I don't know. Here on the reservation, I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do, because we've all heard Timothy Dixon talking about how the different Native American tribes will be visited by the Lord, and I'm just looking forward to that, and I want to be part of that. So anyway,
are you an Indian? Are you an American Indian?
Well, I've been to India, and I'm in America. Yeah, but ahead, I don't. I think I've got some Native American blood somewhere.
Okay.
By the way, I went out. I had some oral surgery about 20 years ago, and my little daughter had, you know, learned that I had a little bit of blood from I think it was Hiawatha. I'm not sure. Back on the East Coast. But anyway, but she knew it wasn't a lot of blood, you know, Indian blood. So I came back from the surgery, and I was still spitting out blood a little bit. And my daughter comes running up to me. She said, "Daddy, you're going to lose your Indian blood," because she knew there wasn't much.
Are you and Elizabeth Warren, or y'all kinfolk? I just had to ask.
Okay, that. I'll quit while I'm ahead or behind somewhere.
All right. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
It reminded, listening to Malcolm reminded me of a story. My Baptist pastor, he told he had part Indian in him. I think it was Oklahoma, something the Indians that were from that Oklahoma area. And, you know, he told his kids, you know, let his kids know that they had part Indian in them. And one day he was walking by the bathroom, and his son was standing on his tiptoes. Let me just can that. With his mouth open wide, and he was looking in the mirror. said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking for that little Indian," he said, "I had in me." it just dawned on me. Hit me with the kids. They have one frame of reference. Anyway, that isn't what I really wanted to say, but it just kind of hit me when Malcolm was talking about that. This is a prayer request. I would like to ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding related to his, what he means by these scriptures. I want to take a moment and just read some scripture. And it is basically based upon authority, the authority that the Lord has given us, and in general authority, and in general roles and responsibilities that we have. And what the scripture is related to wives and husbands in that relationship. And just as kind of a quick background, the Lord showed me early on in my life with him the need to humble myself, submit myself under his mighty hand, and realize that the authority that he had placed me under was for a purpose. And that purpose was to, and the general purpose was that God, excuse me, works through the structure, and I don't mean to sound harsh and legalistic about that, but there is a certain structure of authority that God works through, has chosen to work through, and has designed the kingdom and the world to function in an orderly path through authority. So therefore, he many ways shows us, teaches us, leads us through the authority that we are under. And the hard thing about that is that it's very easy to see and get our eyes upon the particular one who represents that authority in our lives and start to reject, rebel, react, resist, or on the other side, positively trust and put all of our trust and confidence in that particular individual in authority in our life. But it is not the fact that God chooses a good person or a bad person or whatever and puts them in authority over us, and that we're supposed to listen to that person specifically, but we're supposed to be listening to God and the Holy Spirit as he uses this individual or group or whatever in our life. And by that we have the Holy Spirit, and he can influence us and teach us and use this structure in order to provide guidance to a certain degree. So I learned that process early on in life, and learned to humble myself under that mighty hand and trust God to lift me up through the process and teach me and that whole thing. However, on the flip side of that, he also puts us in authority and gives us responsibility with those under our authority. And there's a little bit different responsibility or role to cooperate with God in that process. And that one has always been a little bit less clear to me. excuse me. So what I would like to, I just wanted to read this scripture and ask for if anybody has any clarity or if anybody wants to pray for me, but I need God's wisdom and guidance through this process. And because I feel that my whole life, there's something that I'm missing here in the connection here. So I just want to read this. This is in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. And it's Paul talking about the relationship of wives and husbands. It says, "Wives, be in subjection unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church." And that's one that I have to really think about. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Now, I learned that early on, like I said, not by taking the wives' role, but by taking the principle of humbling myself under that authority, and found that God became very, very real in providing me what I needed: wisdom, strength, guidance, faith, even when I was underneath a person that was not quite so, shall we say, was not quite so, well, I won't say that. It wasn't a, let me just stop there, and I think you got the picture. So anyway, then he says, but as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. So I would like to know exactly how that applies to me in the husband and wife relationship, looking at Christ as giving himself up for the church, for the church. I mean, he went to the cross for the church, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word. Now, what does that mean to me? How do I apply that in my relationship with my wife? Having cleansed it, I'm saying cleansing the church, cleansing my wife by the washing of the water with the word.
No, I was cleansing you.
Okay.
What God, I'm going to answer this one while we're right here at it, still going to another one right quick. What God wants you to do is to look at him. Jesus wants you to look at him, emulate him. And if you emulate him, you'll be doing as Christ did to the church. He was humble. He was meek. He was lowly. He was all of those great attributes that he had that it talks about. And that's what he wants us to be, loving, very loving, grace, mercy, all of those great things. But he also demanded obedience.
So that makes sense. He sanctified the church, having cleansed it by the washing of the water, having cleansed the church or himself?
Yeah. The word, with the word, yeah, with the word. It's the church, it's the people, it's the word.
Okay.
That does that, yeah. David teaches on that.
In what, the word women and authority, or?
No, you're going two different directions here.
Okay.
Trying to go two different directions. But what David, or what the word is saying, is that you, as the husband, wash yourself with the washing of the water of the word, which is, who's the word? That's Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You wash yourself in the word. You absorb the word. And once you do that, when you do that, you're doing what Jesus wanted you to do, which is look at him, emulate him, walk in his steps in every aspect of his walk. That's where maturity comes in. That's the hundredfold fruit he's looking for in each one of us. That's the sanctification that he wants us to attain. And the only way we can do that is by, like he said, reading and studying the Word of God and applying it, not only just reading and studying. That's where we mess up a lot of times. We read and we study the Word, but we don't apply it. You know, we don't apply it in our life. When he says cast down those vain imaginations, he's talking about the flesh. Cast it down. When those things come up in our mind about the flesh, cast them down. That's our job. And to believe within, that God's doing it in us.
Within us is what you're referring to.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Do we have a responsibility as a husband to cast down vain imaginations in, say, my wife?
No, but you can teach her. You know, listen.
I say that generally, but yes. Okay. I understand. I guess.
Go ahead.
What is my role?
As a what? As a husband?
Yes.
Your role is to bring your wife alongside of you in the relationship with Jesus. It says a loving husband. Remember what he said? He says, as a loving husband. You don't hammer her over the head with, look, the word says you got to submit, woman. You better submit. I'm telling you right now. No, that's not the way Jesus did us, did he? He went to the cross for us. He humbled himself and went to the cross. And that's what he wants us to do, is to go to the cross of dying to self. And once we die to self, we'll be in... the wife and the husband will have a right relationship. And of course, the wife has to come along too. And if the wife is not coming along, she doesn't believe all that stuff. Your job is to still love her and to pray for her and believe for her to come in to that right relationship. But they'll do it. Go ahead, Judy. You had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about what, Pat, your question about casting down her thoughts or her imagination. You don't know what those are. But what was coming to my mind was a teaching David did, and it's from the Old Testament, about the husband or the father renouncing or nullifying the words, you know, speaking a curse or something like that. Where the husband has that right to not accept those words, kind of thing.
Numbers 24 or 23 or something like that. Yeah, I understand.
That's all. That was what was coming to my mind about that.
Okay. Yeah, well, good. Thank you. Okay, Will, did you want to say something about this also?
No, I just remembered a teaching that I heard from David where David casted out a spirit of fear out of his wife. But it's not really casting down vain imaginations, but he did cast a spirit of fear out of his wife without her permission, which was interesting. She was coming against something in a spirit of fear, and he just had the permission to just cast out that demon, which is interesting. And it made me think about a verse. Verse came up. Jesus said, "I sanctify myself so that they also might be sanctified." It just sort of popped into my head.
Okay, go ahead, June.
Okay. Mine is not in reference to husband and wife, but it's on the same topic. About 25 years ago, I was very discouraged with our teenage daughters. And I remember I was like talking to the Lord, you know, how upset I was. And what happened was he touched my spirit where he was actually, how would you say it? Coming against me. And he said, he made it clear in the spirit that you can do so much talking, but they need to see it in your actions. And regarding Pat and his wife, apparently she's not, it sounds to me like she's not on the level at this time, Pat, that you are on regarding your fellowship with the Lord. And so as been mentioned by Michael about showing her that love, but demonstrating by your actions more than your words as to where she can make changes, where it would be appropriate for her to make changes. And she'll be won over. Love conquers all.
I'd like to add to that because with the troubles and struggles that you go through as parents with teenagers, you know, now they're grown and they come back to us and just say, thank you for staying the course and being there for us unconditionally, no matter what. And it's in their latter years that they now recognize and appreciate, I should say, more than recognize, but appreciate what we've done and staying the course.
They love the Lord. They so love the Lord. And you'll be receiving that from your wife, I believe.
But it was the unconditional love on our part that really dominated the scene at that point.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good topic. Okay. I did have a question that somebody sent in. And I would like to just throw it out there. The question was, what is witchcraft according to the way that we use it? We pray against witchcraft. Now, people think of witchcraft as the ugly lady out there with the big long nose and a big tall black hat and a broom in her hand, a stern, a cauldron of potions, you know. But they wanted to know how we pray, why we pray against witchcraft, and what is witchcraft according to how we pray for it. Anybody want to start out? Okay, I will. The witchcraft in the Bible is what is that scripture? I wrote it down. There was one scripture that I'd like to relate to you before I get started on it. Okay, I don't know what it is, but anyway, witchcraft, the way we look at it, is somebody speaking a curse against you. Is someone praying, they think they're praying, and they're praying against you and your actions. That's witchcraft. That's trying to control you through that. Control, rebellion is as witchcraft, the Bible says. And that's another thing. Rebellion is we pray against that as well. But when we pray against witchcraft, we're praying against people who consider themselves as Christians who have fallen away and are praying against us. But they're not praying the same Jesus that we're praying. And what happens is the other Jesus, you know who that is, sends their little demons over to do the little work. That's why we have to put on the armor and body, the body and army of God. And when you do that, you come against all of that stuff in a mighty, powerful way. And that's just a little simple definition of it in my vernacular. Anybody else want to try it? Go ahead, Julie.
Isn't witchcraft in a sense just anything? I mean, you know, there's darkness and there's light, there's mm-hmm. evil, there's good, there's the powers and principalities of darkness, etc. And you know, Ephesians chapter 6. But isn't witchcraft in a sense anything and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and what God's will is and thy kingdom come? So it's the enemy trying to hinder God's word going forth, God's work being done, anything hindering people getting delivered from demonic oppression or sicknesses or diseases, or even being able to get into the word of God and read it and study it and hearing the truth as opposed to hearing some apostate Christianity. I think it's very, very broad. It's very, very big, and it just covers there is the stuff, the darkness, you know, the witches and the spells and the curses and the cauldron, and there is that side of it too, and that's very real. But I just think it's like anything coming against what God's kingdom is all about and what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm. Pharmakia is another one. That's witchcraft. Pharmakia, going to the doctor, that's a form of witchcraft. Look the word up. It actually, the definition is sorcery. Okay, Will, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just laughing, Michael, to think that all these wealthy doctors in our town, if I go to them and tell them they're a bunch of witches, they will have me. I'll just be very weak to the weak, and I won't run around doing that tomorrow. I remember the faction war you guys had. I thought it was the first one. Apparently, it was not. But it opened up a whole new chapter of witchcraft. I used to think it was only sangomas, you know, and that type of thing. And now, then realizing that most of the churches are filled with even worse witches, because they use the power of Jesus in their witchery. You know, it's like spiritualism without any love. If the unforgiveness is there and the love is absent, and then they still practice the spiritual laws of the Bible, they're even more powerful than the sangomas, you know. It's scary because they, you know, the one that's very bad is where they, when they did that, one against David, where they handed him over to Satan, according to that one chapter, you know, the one that said if where Paul handed that guy over to Satan, you know. And I, what I remember from the teaching is David actually fell off a ladder, and then you guys realized that there was witchcraft being done, and they broke it. And you guys had to break that, you know. It was, that's how I remember it, if I don't have it wrong. That was a powerful curse that was spoken that actually had a sort of an impact, a powerful impact on him, and then he had to break it, if I'm correct, the way I remember that, you know. So that was some powerful witchery. And especially, I remember as a young Christian, I read that chapter where you can hand over someone to Satan. Luckily, I'd never practiced it. I didn't think it was my place. And then I learned later on that there's so much, you've got to be a mature Christian. There's so much rules on applying that scripture. It's such a dangerous scripture. And I think some people just look at it and think, that guy is irritating me. He needs to be handed over. I've got a problem with his death to self doctrine. So, yeah, that just made me think about that. It's like unforgiveness for me is the first good road to becoming a witch.
Amen. I like what Rion said. Now, listen to this also now. This is very important. He said, bless them that curse thee. Our fight is against the rulers of darkness, not the people themselves. And that's correct. We fight against the rulers of darkness that control them. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, there's a couple of examples in the book of Acts. When Paul met up with that woman of divination, that would be a sample of witchcraft. There's the other guy who wanted to pay for the Holy Spirit power. And then, of course, in the Old Testament, there's Saul going and consulting some witch there. And that's why a Christian's not supposed to consult anyone with any other different spirits, because it doesn't work good for you to be involved in that kind of stuff. And put a curse on you, and you just have to trust in the Lord. You know, I always look at something the Lord showed me just recently in chapter 4 of Hebrews. You read the first 11 verses, and it's all talking about coming into the Sabbatismos, the rest, you know, being evangelized. But some people didn't receive it with faith. But then it ends up to that verse where it says, living is the word of God and active. And, once that rest comes, you know, when you get that answer to prayer and that rest comes, it just comes so easily. And you know, the rest has come upon you, because now the word of God is being active and you're getting your answer. And it's just so cool when it happens. You try not to get excited, but you always do get excited when he does answer any little thing, you know. And that's the rest in action. And we're on the morning of the seventh day now, too. So yep. It should be much more evident with us just to trust the Lord and step back into that rest and watch the activating of God in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, I was just talking about witchcraft. Me and Mariana used to go to a big mega church, big old mega church. Anyways, and this is gonna be quite a bold statement, but bear with me. But a lot of times the way, hear me out, the way they use their music ministry. They would use it in the form of manipulation, which is witchcraft. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll tell you. Everybody get pumped up, the service, they playing fast music, everybody's going. And I love worship music. Honestly, the best worship music I ever heard was at the local UBM, caught on the street. You know, it's because they're all in one accord. But, anyways, people get to church to get pumped up, fast music, everybody's going. And man, this church we went to just, oh my goodness, they had so much money in this worship. I mean, they would fly a guy every week from Chicago just to do their organ playing and then flying back after church every week. But, you know, these people are multi-millionaires. Anyways, the thing is, they get everybody hyped up and ready to go. And then they bring them down to earth with some slow music, bring them way down and get them real soft. And then they get everybody accepting and like, oh, you know, everybody's kind of crying and all that. And then they'd hit them with the tithe. You know, they'd say, oh, now everybody, because everybody's brought down a low spirit. Oh, you know, now let's take that. It's better to be what they used to say. It's better to have 90% blessed than 100% cursed. Oh, and they hit them with that. And they would use music to do it. So just a little something that the Lord's allowed me to pick up on, thank God. But yeah, no doubt.
Manipulating emotions. Yeah. I've seen that too on YouTube. Amen. Go ahead, David. You gonna sing us a little worship song here, brother? Go ahead.
No, I think half the people in the chat will leave if I start singing. well, I don't think I ever shared how God pulled me out of church, and thank God that He showed me this. I left the Russian churches, and I was looking around for a different church. I thought I could find God somewhere else, but that wasn't happening. And I was sitting in church, and it was this Baptist church, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I like how this guy goes over the Bible, he goes into it and stuff. And one day I was talking with Theo, and Theo was like, what a lot of churches leave out, he's like, there's a verse in the Bible where I think Paul, he's like, there's a thorn in my flesh. And he said, and that's the messenger from the devil. And he said, a lot of churches leave out the messenger part and they make up whatever it is that the thorn in the flesh is. And I was like, maybe that's true. And I was sitting at church and the preacher's talking about that. And he reads that verse in the Bible, and I just got done talking to Phil about it like a couple days before. And he's like, we don't really know what the thorn in the flesh was. It was some kind of sickness or something. And I was like, and that is my cue to leave. I was like, God literally just showed that I need to go out and leave that. Because that's not what the full truth is. And it was just awesome to me how God opened that up. And thank God He brought me to where I am today.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, we can, Malcolm. We can pray for that. Do you want to pray? Bye, Ray and June. Y'all be blessed. See y'all, Thursday night is worship night. Are you trying to sing, Malcolm?
Can you hear me now, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
No,
can you hear me? Forevermore. You had me worried there.
I don't want to go into detail.
Sure.
I don't want to say I'm distraught. I'm just trusting God in this situation, but this just strikes me as being criminal activity. So if you guys could pray without mentioning too much of what I said there.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know what Malcolm's talking about and the people he's talking about. Lord, we ask that you hold this not against them. We praise you, Father, for not doing that and allowing repentance to come to them and cleansing of their conscience, Lord. And we thank you for doing that. Those that are yours, Lord, and we thank you for doing that. Jesus, mighty name. Amen. Father, we ask that those that are, that their conscience just gives them a hard time, that you would mention your son and bring them into your son and grant repentance to them and bring them into the kingdom, Lord. That's the only way they'll get any kind of relief at all. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You forgave Paul. You can forgive these people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Lord. It's done. Amen. Yeah, that'd be a burden. That'd be a burden. All right. Anybody else on witchcraft? I'll tell you another one, something else that's involved in witchcraft, and that's that Jezebel spirit also. And by the way, it's not only women, it can be men too. Mostly in women, but anyway, we just all right. All right. We'll just skip right on over that one. Anybody else? The Jezebel curse. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
So I believe it's got a lot to do with the first fruit of the spirit, fornication, which is described in Hebrews chapter 12 as just saying that the word of God has no meaning. And or they take away from the meaning of the word of God, or they try to add to it too, which gives it a different meaning. So they take the word of God not to mean anything. And of course the adultery is with that too, because the word of God is supposed to be so easily entreated to someone. And of course, you know, I believe that you get a lot more humbled as you get more mature too. So, you really, it's just so much better when the Lord takes care of everything. It just runs so easily, you know. When God choreographs everything, he makes everything happen. You know, if anyone took any sort of acting classes where you go do your practice, or dance classes where you have to do choreographing and stuff, it's all done by the Lord. And when we can actually step into that, and those examples that you see, like with Cornelius and the rooftop scene, everything before it, how step after step, it's all just all like no problem for those guys, you know. And even though they had to go through some problems too, because, you know, there is that those items that the apostles went through that were tests for them, I guess, in the book of Acts. And but they still had that ability to even be like even beaten for the Lord's word, and just to step in that rest in the situation of violence against them, or people bad mouthing them or something. So that's what I'm really looking into. And yeah, that's praise God.
Amen. All right, anyone else? By the way, I meant to say this while ago. We were talking about when Paul turned the person over to Satan in order that he might come back, you know. The only time that David or myself or both of us have ever done it is when God told us to do it. You know, that's the only time that we've ever done that. It's when God has told us to do it. And that's when we do it. So it like, I forget who was talking about it. It is a very dangerous thing to do on your own unless you know that God's behind it. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay, anybody else on witchcraft? And nobody got a big cauldron out back, do you? Praise God. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I'm not calling them witches, but, you know, there's that verse in the book, in the letter to Jude, where it's talking about people who've crept in unawares. But what you have to realize is these are people who are regenerated. And they have a different word to speak. They change the grace of God so that you could do whatever you want. And it goes into a great detail there for these people. And it's just like a downsending thing for them. And of course, you get some relief at the very end of Jude there, when he tells you to pray in the spirit. But even in 3 John 9 and 10, you know, you got the Dio guy there. See, some people, they get thrown out of the church, and or other people will do what it says in, to recognize this rebellion, this not taking of the word seriously, you know. Some people go to John chapter 10 and the first 6 verses there, and they just run away because they're not hearing the shepherd's word there, just like how was stated by David when he overheard that preacher there. And it wasn't exactly the word. It was the very next verse. He didn't finish the verse there on what that thorn in the side was the... of course, the messenger, not a good messenger, but a messenger is a message from the Lord. It could be temptation, or it could be an angelic message from the Lord given to you. And so when a person speaks and it don't sound like the shepherd, you're counseled to run away in John chapter 10. And I some people just run out and the others get kicked out. I guess they try a little harder to convince them on what the truth is, and they just get kicked out of the church for something that's right. Yeah, which is not a good thing to do, because sometimes a younger person in the church We'll start wondering, like, what's going on here? And they may end up believing something that's not right, especially if the guy is speaking common sense, you know. And a lot of problems can happen that way, with corrupting a young one's temple, you know. And you really have to go to, I think it's Romans chapter 14 for that. Anyway, I'm not sure. There's a lot of places where that rebellion is mentioned. And sometimes it's just a sin of ignorance that the people go. I always hope it's just an ignorance, you know, in the case of a brother or sister. And, you know, you get... Revelation 13:11, the two horns like a lamb, but they're speaking as a dragon. And the 15th verse there, something we're seeing a little bit right now of them giving spirit to the word, you know, to bring about fear. And of course, there was quite a bit of slander too when these guys had a certain president. It wasn't just in your country, it was in every other country too. And, you know, it's really not good to speak bad about anyone. And to pass on slander is a spirit. And that's why the media did this and in the past. And it's not good to do that. It's a different spirit. You know, it's a different lifestyle too, because wine is a mocker. And wine is an emblem of the life of Christ. So there's a lot of vantage points on how this behavior of a person could pass on another behavior to someone else. And of course, that is a factious spirit too. You know, I think this witchcraft has very many of the fruits of the flesh and the negative darkness and wickedness of the wrong side. You know, our communion is with light, our in common with is light, our concord is with Christ, our portion is with believing. Unbelief is a sin. We know that from what it says in the Revelation, the unbelieving, the liars, we have an agreement with a sanctuary, you know. Now, what do you do if you're the only one in the sanctuary in the church? Are you hearing voices? I hope they're the right ones. And if you have a glass of wine and you put it to your ear, I don't think it's going to say anything to you. And if it does, then I don't know what it's saying, but I hope it's the right wine. Anyway, the right wine to have faith in, the right lifestyle, you know. The words that he speaks to you are spirit and life. There's a lot of these things that pertain to the negative attributes. And it's not really good to study them because you can get caught up in them too. You know, his word could be a blessing or a cursing. So, you know, even like in... You can parallel these people, the one in Jude there, the one in the Dio guy in 3 John 9 and 10, and the guy over there in Revelation 13:11, which is a future event. But it builds up to that, and it starts in Matthew 24:5. These people are in his name, and they bring a deception. In his name means something. And that in his name there is the guy number 9 on 24. So you all know this, but it's there, you know. It's in a place where it's not supposed to be. And it's sad because it infects the youth. It infects the newcomer. You know, and this is what you have to pray down for yourself. And if a new person doesn't know how to do this, then you still get it line by line from the Lord till it happens. I want to really see this happen in my life. You know, I want to see it happen like now. We're all kind of impatient to have it now. But, you know, the Lord said, I forget the verse exactly, but he said he was going to not do it all in 1 year, but he was going to do it little by little when the Israelites went into the promised land. Because if he did it all at once, it would be too much for us to go through all this stuff and take our promised land, put down all those Canaanites and Jezebites and Amorites and Hittites and Perizzites, all those ites, you know. they eat the fruit of God's crop. It says so in Joel. So you got, it has to be restored, you know, what all them bugs ate out of God's crop. And you can't have these people with you. You see, those, the names of these cities actually meant something. The city of the Amorites was a prominent person. And if you have a prominence, that's good. That's one thing. But the prominence of the Amorites were ego and pride. But there is a verse there that he told Abraham 400 years before that the full defilement of the Amorites didn't happen yet. It's in the book of Genesis. So they had a prominence, but perhaps their prominence was more toward the covenant that was with Noah. And they might have still not come to their full defilement yet. So he told Abraham he couldn't give him the land now because the Amorites aren't fully defiled. That could be my own word. I don't know if it was defiled he used. And so a prominence there for what is good, you know, and you got to be careful with that too, because some people have it with law and not with the chorus of grace that saves through faith, and it's a gift from God, which is hard to take like one item and show the fulfillment of the law, which is the four items in the grace verse that we all know and love. And that's how some young people mess up, because how do you take the one item, the law, the fulfillment of the law, which Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount that he came to fulfill the law, and which is the grace that saves through faith, and it's a gift from God. And of course, you don't get any of that unless you get it by love through the Father, because that's what you ask for. You're standing in your grace. That's your altar. You have this, your altar is for prayer, to ask, to seek, to knock, and you just have to do it, you know, and this is what we do at the fellowship, and people give you good ideas. And, you know, I really do like the Pilgrim's Progress. You know, I listen to the movie a lot. It helps me. I remember listening also to The Other Dreams by the Shepherd of Hermas. And he says there's an angel of repentance in some of his writings there. And it's a dream. And the apostles wanted his dreams. Just like we have a lot of people who have dreams here. We want to hear these dreams. We want to reference them. We want to see what they have to say for us. And dreams are important. They're all through the Bible. And it's one of the ways the Lord will communicate with you, especially in these end times. Dreams and visions. Anyways, praise God.
Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Oh, you lowered my hand. Good. So we're going to look over some of these things that are, we can understand witchcraft. Just kind of a rundown on that, right? So if that's okay, witchcraft, what can we gather from it? Well, it's worth initially, how do we know we're under a witchcraft attack, right? That would be one thing to be kind of understanding. And I'm not saying I understand it all either, because it's kind of like you kind of guess your way through it, right? So we might feel depression, we might feel anxiety come on us, we might feel fear out of nowhere, we might feel headaches, we might feel nausea, all these strange things start coming on us, feel physical ailments out of nowhere. and pain, or, you know, and that we might have an idea that somehow some witchcraft is going on. Because if you can examine your life and know you're not in any kind of willful sin, but all of a sudden these things start coming on you, then you know you might be experiencing witchcraft. The other thing that goes along with witchcraft, gets people involved in witchcraft. We're hearing this, like, and Andrew was bringing this out. We got the media with all the slander we hear. And if we take part of that and start letting it come out of our mouth, there's actually, those are called tongues of demons. And we start letting those demons speak through us. And now we're going to be, that's going to infect us. And then we're going to be performing witchcraft with our mouths by slandering and mocking others and backbiting. And that pulls us away from the grace of God, because now we're falling out from underneath our covenant and falling into their covenant, which is death and destruction. Something else that goes along with witchcraft, there's always judgmentalism. There's always critical thought, critical thinking of others, highly critical, because they're always trying to find out the problem, find out the issue with that person, what is wrong with that person. Why can't they be this way or that? You know, they're very judgmental. The Pharisees were like that, right? Very highly critical. Always looking for a way to trap you in your words, what you are saying. You know, or analyzing every thing you say, to see whether or not you're toting the line, whether that's true or not true, you know, wait for you to fall. Because of that, they're very factious, you know, given into faction. They're looking for separations, reason to cause separations and division in the body of Christ. And Michael mentioned pharmakia and relying on doctors and medicine for your healing rather than submitting to the Lord and praying to the Lord and doing it his way. You're taking things in your own hands because you haven't got faith for the Lord to do those. So pharmakia plays a big part in people that practice witchcraft because they don't have faith in God. So they have to have faith in man. They have faith in the arm of the flesh. And then we...
Let's do something, David. Let's do something right here.
Go ahead.
And I know you'll agree with me. If you don't have faith in God, you better go to the doctor.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Don't condemn
people. If that's where your trust is, go to the doctor. We're not saying not to go to the doctor. We're just giving you what the word pharmakia means. It means sorcery. And sorcery, of course, is witchcraft. Go ahead now, brother. I just want to make sure that we got this.
I'm glad you corrected me and brought that out, because we don't want to put people under any kind of legalism either. That, hey, if you're going to the doctor, oh boy, are you, you went off the deep end. You're not a saint. You're a sinner. No, that's not what we're saying at all. Because you know what? Because actually doctors do bring out some interesting things and they tell us things we don't know. But at the same time, we have to be aware of what they do say, because they're not coming at us at a spiritual level. They're coming at us at what they understand as being science and truth. So their science and truth doesn't always match up with scriptures for our way to get healing. That's just a thing to be aware of when you go to the doctors. They're going to be looking for ways to help you out with their what they know. Not necessarily go with the scriptures, what thus says the Lord. That's the only thing to be careful with doctors. Then we got people take it to the next level, and because they think they may be more spiritual, more understanding than you are, they're going to pray against you. And when they're praying now against you and telling the Lord to go out and do this and do that, when the Lord hasn't told them to say anything to do that, they're no longer being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led by their own spirit or another spirit. Because God will, like Michael brought this out with David, unless the Lord specifically tells you to say or do something about something with somebody or address an issue, you have no reason to open your mouth and say anything or pray about it, other than pray for God for understanding, pray for that person's blessing, you know, maybe some, for some wisdom. But we don't want to be praying against people, because now we're taking and we're becoming God. We're deciding what's good for them. We're taking their hand, their fate in our hands, and we're just we're no longer being directed by the Lord. We became the Lord. We don't want to do that, because there's only one God and one Lord, and one Savior, and we want to be directed by Him. But Satan would love for us to use our God, our who we are, to start fighting against others, because that's what how he likes. That's how his battles are done, causing all this that we see going on in the world today, all the fighting going on. That's from Satan. That's not from God. God may allow it, and God may use it for his glory, but it's not his kingdom. We won't see that in heaven. You won't see this fighting. So be careful that you don't get involved in witchcraft prayers, because the United Kingdom, what kind of might be walking out from under the grace of God when you do. That's all I'm going to say. And then we found out a lot of this might stem from people having spirits of rejection. All right. They feel like there's something that's, they feel offended. They don't know how to overcome this offense. And they keep on, the spirit of rejection keeps on reminding them of something bad that happened in their life. And so if something else comes along, that spirit just brings on even more rejection and makes them feel bad about it. And they're constantly in this mode of defense, and they can't come to the spirit of God in love. They can't come to forgiveness. And so with that rejection spirit, they're automatically turned over, and the other spirits come in with that, with faction, division, strife, unforgiveness. Those all manifest within that person just from that spirit of rejection. And so that's another thing. If you feel rejection, that's an open door that allows these things to come in. The understand we talked about was a Jezebel spirit. You understand Jezebel spirit, it's a controlling, manipulating spirit. It wants to dominate. It wants to control. And it's also rebellion against God, because again, it's not submitting to God. It's not submitting to the Lord. It's doing its own thing, its own will. And it thinks that it's actually right. The Jezebel spirit, again, is making the determination what right is wrong, and it has the upper authority and understanding and ability to make those judgments. That's the Jezebel spirit. So, and it also uses this intimidation along the way. And you see that a lot in ministries, you know, you see a lot of that. And recognize it, that's not Christ, that's not God. And we've probably all fell into a lot of these things ourselves over time, you know. But once you recognize it and try to, then the Lord is faithful. He'll remind you that, no, he's God, you're not. He's done that to me. I'm God, you're not. Oh, okay, yeah. You know, submit, humble yourself, you know, realize who you are, and back off, you know, shut your mouth. And he'll, you know, make things better in your life. So that's another point to remember. God, of your getting corrected, that's a really a good thing. It's when you're not being corrected anymore. That's a bad place to be. So I just want to bring up a few of those things. If somebody else has some others, because we can talk about witchcraft, but it's nice to go back and review, and then maybe there's some things I missed. If somebody else wants to bring some up.
Go ahead, Will. We got a little bit of time, maybe.
I just wanted to, luckily it's very short. I just wanted to, when I became aware of witchcraft, and just two verses that was very powerful against it for me was, one was, God gave us power over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy, you can break it. And another one was, the curse that is causeless. the curse that is causeless alighteth not. Those two verses were so powerful for me when I become like fearful or became slightly fearful of witchcraft. The Lord gave me those two verses, which was so powerful against witchcraft.
Amen. That's two good ones. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We're out of time. We will have a worship session come Thursday night. So send me your requests and I'll try to get them down, get them all in there. Lord, we just thank you for another good night tonight. We praise you, Father, for your leading of the Spirit. And we just thank you, Lord, that there was some clarity tonight with the word witchcraft, the way we use it biblically. And Lord, we thank you for bringing out all the different aspects of it in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us. Give us a good night's sleep, Lord. And we thank you for casting down all the curses that's been spoken against each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good night, y'all.